We're holding second line of the wide lines on Nundalatama Bays. That's seven lines from the bottom. Seven lines from the bottom. Nundalatama Bays, yeah. We mentioned yesterday, the Gemara had said, that quoted, Rav Acha bar Chanina had quoted a Braisa, which in turn quoted a Pasuk, to say that when you have Lefi HaMusaf in Turkish, you blow the trumpets in the Beis Mikdash according to the Musafim, which Rav Acha bar Chanina himself explained, meant to say that if you have more than one Musaf, then you blow a separate set of Kiyas for each one. And that brought us into the whole discussion, does that fit with the various scenarios in our Mishnah? So now, getting back to that, Maestri, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. This idea that you're saying that you say a separate shift. There's actually two considerations we gotta consider. One is whether do you even say more than one shir shayim at a time. For example, when Shabbos, when Shabbos is a shodesh, for example, we say the shir shayim of Shabbos and of a shodesh. But do you necessarily? Do you say both shiras, and then do we go with what Rav Acha bar Chanina was explaining in the Braisa, that you actually blow a separate set of kiyas for each one, or maybe you do both of them, but you only do one set of kiyas for both of them, or maybe even not, maybe even you only do one shira, and the other one gets pushed aside. So, Maestri, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, your shchodesh shachali is b'shabbos, shir shorish chodesh, doicha shir shor shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, the song of Rosh Chodesh, which other Mepharshim say we're not sure what shir that was. We know, by us in davening, we say Baruch Hidashi. That's not necessarily the same one they said that they sang in the Beis Mikdash. Anyway, whatever that was, Doicha Shir Shol Shabbos, that one pushes aside the shir of Shabbos. Now, V'imisa, if Rav Acha bar Chanina's understanding of the Braisa is right, Leimid the Shabbos for Leimid the Rosh Chodesh. So you should, why not? What do you mean Doicha? Why not say both of them? Say both of them. Say do a separate set of Kiyas for each one, and you're good. Amar of Safra, set of Safra said you're right. My Doicha Lekadim. You're right. The word Doicha doesn't mean pushing it aside altogether in the sense, in other words, you only do one Shira of Rosh Chodesh and you don't do the one of Shabbos at all. It just means it pushes it aside. It takes precedence, right? That's why, by my tadur shein, tadur chaydim. We don't even need Rav Safra's statement to say that. Whether according to Rav Safra's understanding, or if we took it at face value that it meant you only do the one of Rosh Chodesh, either one, we know the general rule is whatever's more common, whatever's more often comes first. The Shabbos should come before Rosh Chodesh. Amar Rabbi Yechonon leida shemuk v'Rosh Chodesh bezmano. And Rabbi Yechonon says the reason is because you want people to know that Rosh Chodesh was established in its time. Rosh Chodesh is, unlike Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos, comes every 7 days no matter what. Rosh Chodesh, it always depends on Kiddush Beis Din. Now, you think of most of us. I mean, granted we're not looking for it, but still, we don't usually see the moon right away at the beginning of the month. It takes a couple of days into the month to actually see it. So comes one morning, everybody here is based in, has been the Kaddish L'Chodesh. People start thinking to themselves, really? I didn't see the moon last night. And they're like, Megamgam, Rashi says. They're going to be hesitant. Is it really true? And, maybe the Edom were lying. Who knows? So therefore, in order to make it clear, after Mafilah Shogim, after Mafilah Mazidim, as the Gemara says, in Rosh Hashanah, no matter what, it's Rosh Chodesh because Beis Din said so. So therefore, they make this simon. That they override the usual rule of Tadr, Shein and Tadr, and put the Shir of Rosh Chodesh first, before even the one of Shabbos. So everybody knows for sure. This way, to demonstrate it really is Rosh Chodesh. The Aruch HaNer has a very interesting explanation on it, though. He says that actually, that maybe what the Gemara means is to distinguish between the two possibilities of when Rosh Chodesh can be. We know, nowadays we have sometimes one day, sometimes 2 days Rosh Chodesh. In those times, it wasn't so much one day and 2 days. It was more, so why do we have 1 and 2 days Rosh Chodesh when the month is 29 days long? It's one day Rosh Chodesh. When it's 30 days long, then 30th and first. In those times, the way it worked was, The 30th day of the month, Beis Din would be waiting for Edom to come. If no Edom showed up, or for that matter, Beis Din might not even be waiting if they calculated the moon anyway, it's not going to be visible. So then the 30th is the end of the previous month, and the 31st day, which becomes the first day of the next month, and that's Rosh Chodesh. So you have sometimes, in other words, Rosh Chodesh would be the 30th, of 30 days counting from the previous one. Sometimes it would be 31 days counting from the previous one.
On the
31st day, which is right. Now, the Gemara talks about in Rosh Hashanah, a different opinion, when Beis Din is actually Mekadosh L'Chodesh and when they're not. When do they actually have to say the word Mekodosh L'Chodesh, or Mekodosh Mekodosh? One opinion, and if I remember correctly, this is the Halacha, is you only have to do it when Rosh Chodesh is on the 30th, when the month was 29 days. If the month is 30 days long and Rosh Chodesh is on the next day, it automatically has to be, because a month can't be longer than 30 days. So there's no need for Beis Din to be Mekadosh. The expression in the Mishnah is Shkakidshu Shamayim. Hashem already was Mekadosh it.
On the 30th day.
If the month was 30 days long, either because the moon wasn't visible at all, or it was visible but no Adam showed up, the month is 30 days long because it can't be any longer than 30 days. So therefore, the Aruch HaNer says, so you have then that you can kind of distinguish between two different kinds of Rosh Chodesh. You have Rosh Chodesh on the 29th, which has both advantages. It has Min HaShemayim, that the moon was visible, and it's down here on earth that Beis Din was Mekadosh it. And then you have Rosh Chodesh on the 30th, which is only Shekvah Kidshur Shemayim. It's all done by the Eibishter. That kind, maybe, is not what the... When Rosh Chodesh is on the 31st, when you have a 30-day month, maybe is not what he says, is not what the Gemara means over here when we're talking about that we do the Shir of Shabbos, and then they do the Shir of Rosh Chodesh, and then the Shir of Shabbos. Because then Rosh Chodesh has no particular advantage over Shabbos. Shabbos comes Min HaShemayim, so does Rosh Chodesh. Only if it's a 29-day month, and they made Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, which they actually had to interrogate the Edim and declare Mekodesh HaChodesh, then Rosh Chodesh has an advantage over Shabbos, and that's when we would say that we actually put the Shir of Rosh Chodesh ahead of the one of Shabbos. You're telling me that that's the hector we make, that we put the Shir of Rosh Chodesh ahead of the one of Shabbos? But we know from a Mishnah that there's a different hector that they make in the Beis HaMikdash, that everybody should know that it's Rosh Chodesh. The Tanya or the Tanan. This is the last Mishnah in Shkolim. Chelvei Tomet Shal Shachar Nitonin Mechatzi Kevesh Lamata B'Mizrach. The fat, and actually all the pieces, of the Tomet of the morning are placed on the lower half of the Kevesh, of the ramp of the Mizrach, on the east side. We know, we learned in Yuma, that the pieces are brought to the Mizrach in two stages. First, after they cut up the korban, they would bring the pieces to the Mizrach and leave them on the ramp there. They would salt them there, they'd leave them sitting there for a while. Meanwhile, the Mishnah discusses in Talmud, meanwhile they would go to say Krishna, to say some parts of davening, etc. And then they'd come back and either the same Kohenim or different Kohenim, we had a Macholikus and Yom over there, would take the pieces up to the top of the Mizbeach and throw them onto the fire. So now, where did they place them? Where's this in-between place? It's on the lower half of the Kevesh on the east side. V'shamusafin, the ones from the Korban Musaf, Nitanan Mechatzi Kevesh Olamata B'Mayrev, they are placed on the lower half of the Kevesh on the west side. So this way, to distinguish them from the others. There's actually different Girsois over here. Rashi and Tosfos point out on the side over here it says the Rambam has the opposite Girsa, that the regular ones went on the west and the Mizrach ones went on the east. Whatever. The point is they had some way of distinguishing them. Rosh Chodesh, and then the ones from the Mutzah for Rosh Chodesh. So all the other Musafim we just said went in one on the east or west side, on the side of the lower half of the Kevesh. The ones from Rosh Chodesh were special. They went in Tanin Tachas Karkov HaMizbeach Olamata. They went just below the Karkov of the Mizbeach, which means basically the Karkov is the Sovev, with the ledge around the which is a little over half the height of the Mizbeach. So therefore, the Mizbeach is 9 amas tall, excluding the Kronos. So the Kevesh is nine amos in height. The Soviv is 6 amos above the floor. So therefore, the point is, what we're saying over here is they put these pieces on the top half of the Kevesh. The top half of the Kevesh begins a little bit below the level of the Soviv. It begins an amma and a half below the Soviv. And then they'd fill up the whole space from there until the top of the Mizbeach with the pieces of the carbon. And they'd go beginning from about here, beginning from the midpoint. And going
no,
the Soviv is the ledge around here. You'd have to see a side view of the Mizbeach in order to understand. If you think of the Mizbeach was built as here, you have, for example, here's the side of the Mizbeach. You go up 6 amas, and then you have the Soviv, this ledge on the cone and walk around. We talked about it before, and then you have another 3 amas of the side of the Mizbeach going up all the way up to the top. So at the level of the Soviv, that is 2/3 up the height of the Mizbeach, they would go a little below it and start from the midpoint of the Kevesh and start putting the pieces from there. And Rabbi Yechanan said, why do they have a special place for the Musaf and Rosh Chodesh, unlike every other Musaf? Again, Rosh Chodesh with Mane, so that everybody knows that Rosh Chodesh is established in its proper time. So we see that they had that Heker. What do they need to make a Heker as far as the Shir for? The answer is Tulei Heker Avdin, and in fact, that's the answer. We actually make two different things to distinguish Rosh Chodesh.
This just was in the Mikdash. The whole population didn't know.
So we're talking about the Shir is also only in the Mikdash. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about in Shul. In Shul, we do say the Shir Shul Yom of Shabbos and of Rosh Chodesh. We're talking about in the Mikdash. Yeah, that they put the one from Rosh Chodesh ahead of Shabbos. Yeah. So they would make two Hekerim. The chazi high chazi. This way, if somebody sees one of them, then he saw it. And if he saw the other one, he sees it. In other words, this way, if somebody is only there at the time when he sees the pieces of the carbon being placed on the kevesh, automatically he'll see from the fact that they're putting ones on the top half of the kevesh, oh, today is Rosh Chodesh. And if he's there a little later on when they're bringing the Nesachim, and which is when the Levim sing the Shira, and he hears that they do the one of Rosh Chodesh first, again, that tells him, oh, it's Rosh Chodesh. So yeah, you make two Akedim, it's not a contradiction. So therefore, we still haven't contradicted Rav Acha bar Chanina's understanding of his Braisa yet, because when we say that the Shira of Rosh Chodesh is Doicha, the one of Shabbos, doesn't mean it pushes it aside completely, so you only do one, it just means it comes first. Now, though, Meisvi, the Tani Rava Bashmol taught a Braisa, Yachol Keshem Shetoken al Shabbos Bechneatzma, Barash Chodesh Bechneatzma, you would think, just like you blow the Chatzotzeris for Shabbos by itself, when they do the Musaf of Shabbos by itself, Barash Chodesh Bechneatzma, and on Rosh Chodesh, when it comes on any other day of the week, Kach Yotoken al Kol Musaf of Musaf, you would think, therefore, the same way you blow individually for every Musaf. So if you have, for example, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh together, or, as we'll talk about in a minute, Rosh Hashanah, where there's always, by definition, two Musafim, because it's always Rosh Chodesh, and sometimes there can even be three.
You were separately.
So you would think that you blow for each one separately. Tamad Laimo, V'rash Eichab Sheichem. Therefore, the pasuk says of V'rash Eichab Sheichem, which we'll say in a minute how we learn from the words of V'rash Eichab Sheichem, that concept. But anyway, that's what the Braisa says. So Tzuf Tzidir Abacha, so that contradicts Abacha. Now, it doesn't necessarily contradict his Braisa, because all his Braisa said, was, Hakol Lefi HaMusafin Token. They blow according to the Musafin. Rav Acha bar Chanina himself explained that meant that you blow an individual set of tekiyas for every musaf. So now we've shlugged that up. The Braisa, our newest Braisa, is saying that you don't blow separately for each musaf.
It says
you don't blow for individually for every musaf. Yachol, I would think that just like you blow for the one of Shabbos and for the one of Rosh Chodesh, so you also blow for each one when they come together. So, for example, you blow 18 tekiyas. No. Over Rosh HaChachem. So Tiyufta to Rav Acha. This is a contradiction against Rav Acha. Tufta, contradiction. My Talmud, where do we see from the words of Rosh Chodeshem that you only blow for one Musaf, they only blow for one for all the Musafim together? I'm Rabbiya, because Amakra, the Pasuk says of Rosh Chodeshem, the Pasuk says on your Rosh Chodeshes, plural. Hukshu, kol kadashim, kolam, zelazet. So all the months are compared to each other, meaning, it's just like, for example, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Thursday, it's a given you only have 9 tekiyas for Musaf, because there's no other Musaf being brought that day. So also, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, and inevitably every year there are some Rosh Chodesh that come out on Shabbos, then you also you also only have 9 tekiyas for the Musaf, and you do not have separate ones for Rosh Chodesh and for Shabbos.
Because
it says Rosh Chodesh, I mean.
Meaning they're all the same.
That they're all the same. Rav Ashi Yama, there's another way we can learn it. Ksiv Chodeshem, or Ksiv of Rosh. It says of Rosh Chodesh, we read it with a Tzere, but it's written in the Torah without a Yud. So which means that we have, in a way, it's like the Pasuk is contradicting itself. It says Chod Shechem, or we can read it as if it said Chod Shechem, which means one month, or Chziv Uvarashe, but then it says on the heads, plural. So what is it? Are we talking about one month or all of them? It means, Ve'ezer Chodesh Yesh Leshnei Roshim, which month has two heads? Heveyem is a Rosh Hashanah. This means Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is considered to have two heads, because, you always have two Korbanos Mosef on it. It's all Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah is always Rosh Chodesh, of course. So you always have a Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Incidentally, if we look in davening, when we usually say, in Musaf, when we say the parashia, the psukim of the Korbanos, in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we actually don't say the psukim of Rosh Chodeshem, unlike on every other Rosh Chodesh. We say the ones of Shabbos if it's Shabbos. We say the ones of Rosh Hashanah, of Chodesh Hashvi, but also of Chodesh Hashvi. We don't say the ones of Rosh Hashanah. I mean of Rosh Chodesh. We mention it by implication because the pasuk ends over there. Milvad Olas Chodesh Amin Chasa. So we quote that pasuk.
We don't
actually say the one of Rosh Chodesh. So a famous thing about that, it's brought in, Tosfos brings it in Rosh Hashanah, and it's brought in a few other places, that Rosh Hashanah is Chag Shachodesh Miskasabai. It's the month on which, it's the Yom Tov on which the moon is hidden. And not only that, it doesn't just mean the moon is hidden, obviously, because it's the beginning of the month, it also means we hide the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. We push aside the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh in favor of Rosh Hashanah. And there's reasons in it, because they're liable to soften, and there's all kinds of chassidus in many places that talks about the idea that what's hidden, what's hidden on Rosh Hashanah comes out the gallery later on in the month in Yom Kippur and in Sukkot. But they did actually bring both korbanos musaf on Rosh Hashanah, and on Shabbos they even had three of them. So therefore, Tishrei, it can be said, is a month that has two heads. Because even though it says, no, we do read it Chod Shechem, but you can read it Chod Shechem, which means 1 month, but it's a Rosh Sheh. So it's a Rosh Sheh, it has two heads, but the Torah says Chod Shechem, it's only considered one in the sense, even though you have two Musafim, you only do one set of Tchiyas. So that's another contradiction to him. And not only then, we see from that, this shows us that you don't have extra Tchiyas. Now the Gemara is going to point out, not only you don't have extra tekiyas, you don't even have extra shiras. When you have more than...
Rosh Chodeshechem, it could have meant...
Chodeshechem means 1 month.
1 month.
But over Rosh, it means two heads. So it means Rosh Hashanah. And we're saying Chodeshechem, that you only consider it as one, as far as the number of tekiyas. And then, not only that, so now we've proved that you don't have extra tekiyas. Now we're going to prove you don't even necessarily have extra shiras. Before we were talking about, for example, Shabbos or Chodesh, we would say you do say both Shiras, you just do the one from a Chodesh first. Here we're going to see a Braisa talking about Sukkot that actually sometimes not, that in certain cases we actually push aside one of the possible Shiras altogether. The Braisa says, B'chol HaShomayet, on the days of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Maho Yo'imrim, Barish and Maho Yo'imrim, what did they say, which Shira did they say on the first day of Chol HaMoed? Now, we'll go through the shiras and then we'll see what the factors for them are. The first day they said Havul Hashem Bnei Eden. Why is that? Rashi says because that pasuk is the first day of Chol HaMoed is the first day of Simchas Beis HaSheva, because we said that Simchas Beis HaSheva is not Yom Tov. So this mizmer of Havul Hashem Bnei Eilim is appropriate to Simchas Beis HaSheva. Havul Hashem covered va'oid, Kol Hashem al Amoyim, which refers to the Nitzach HaMayim. There's even an opinion in Gemara Tainis that they only started the Nitzach HaMayim on the second day of Sukkot, but the halacha is not like that, but still, the Simchas Beis HaSheva is all connected with the water, so therefore it's appropriate to sing the song that says Kol Hashem al Amoyim. And Marsha adds also, there's seven times that it says Kol in that capital, Kol Hashem HaKoyach, Kol Hashem B'Hoder, etc., corresponding to the 7 days of Sukkot. Basheni Mahayoim, what did they say on the second day of Chol HaMoed? V'lo Rasha Omar Elikim. They said Kapitel Nun, which the pasuk in the middle of it is V'lo Rasha Omar Elikim. The Eibusha says to the Rasha, what are you doing keeping my mitzvahs and bringing korbanos when you're acting the way you are? So what is this talking about? Why is that appropriate to one of the days of Sukkot? So Rashi says because Sukkot is the time of year, everybody's bringing in their harvest, that's it, you know, the agricultural season is ended. So this is the time when you need to make sure, you're providing for the poor people as well. But this one not quite yet. This one actually, Rashi says, is that everybody's coming to the Bais HaMikdash. Aliyah Regel. What we're saying to them is, you should know something. Just coming to the Bais HaMikdash is not enough. You need to make sure you're doing the right thing. Do tshuva. So, like the Eibusha tells the wicked person, what are you doing? You don't be here in the Bais HaMikdash. Do tshuva. And then the pasuk continues afterwards, which also reminds people, if you have korbanos that are still overdue, bring them now, because otherwise the deadline is the end of Yom Tov. So therefore, those are the reasons why Rashi says that capital is appropriate. And Marsha gives another reason that also we know, we'll learn on Amud Beis, that they had the 70 parim that were brought during Sukkot connected to the 70 nations of the world. So this V'lo Rasha Al Malakim is also addressed to them. That's where, you know, the Eibusha is saying, the whole world belongs to me. As the Eibusha said, it's saying to the Yidden, Lo Yakach Beis Chapar, I'm not going to take the one power from you. For now, I want korbanos on behalf of the Goyim. Your power will come on Shmini Aseres. But the goyim, if you're going to act the way you are, below Rosh Hashanah Kim, what do you need? What do I need you for? So the first day we said because we didn't want to do some space shaver. But now, as soon as possible after that, we remind people that, you know, you have the coming to the Bismi Mikdash isn't enough. It has to be accompanied by Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. Bashlishi Mahavirayim, Mi Yokum Liyim Mereim. On the third day, they would say the capital, they would say the second half of Capital Tzadik Dalet, which we say as Shir Shoyim for Wednesday, which the Mi Yokum Liyim Mereim, who's going to stand up for me against the Roshayim. So what's the relevance of that to Sukkot? So Rashi says because that half of the capital is talking about the tzaddis that we have in Golos, the tzaddis that we have from the Goyim, which in the time of the second Beit Hamikdash they were. They had first the Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans, and nevertheless we still come and we're with Simcha in the Beit Hamikdash. And the rest of the capital is asking the Eibishter to save us from what they're trying to do to us. Ima marti moter agli, I thought my foot would stumble. Chafta Hashem yisadeni, etc. That whole half of the capital is talking about our experiences in Golos. Berevi ma'oyer, remember what they say on the fourth day of Chol Hamoed. Binu boirim ba'am, the first half of that same capital, which that pasuk binu boirim ba'am, the first half of that capital is talking about the binu boirim ba'am means understand you foolish people. What is this? This is because this is what I was starting to say before by mistake that Sukkot is the time when you need to make sure that you've given your leket shitzapeya, your maisoni, the other things that are supposed to come from your crops that are supposed to go from the poor people. So don't be one of those people who thinks, the Eibishter doesn't see, the Eibishter doesn't care. And no to ozen alo yishma, the Eibishter who gave you ears, can't he hear? No to ayin alo yabit. So you know the Eibishter is watching and listening to everything you do. Make sure you do the right thing.
What do we say?
We don't. We say it on Wednesday.
On Wednesday,
okay. Oh, you're thinking of Chsil Lo Yavanes Zayis in Mizmor Shul Yom Shabbos. Yeah, that's a different thing. I mean, Mizmor Shul Yom Shabbos, the Gemara discusses in Rosh Hashanah, are we saying it mainly in honor of the fact that Hashem rested on Shabbos, or are we saying it mainly in honor of Yemaris HaMashiach? Which then, you know, all the Chsilim of our times, you know, will then realize the truth. Yeah.
It'll take a Mashiach to realize that.
Anyway. Incidentally, I mean, so the Gemara is mentioning a lot of these kapitlach over here based on a pasuk in the middle of them, because like Rashi says, that's the pasuk that it's quoting is the reason why we have it for that day. For example, you know, with the fourth day, for example, they begin with Keil Nechamas Hashem, the beginning of the kapitel. But we're mentioning Binu Boreh Ba'am because that's the one that's significant for our purpose. The Ben Yoyada actually says that he thinks that maybe when they sang these shiras, they would actually, like, you know how in the Gunim or sometimes you have, like, you know, there's a main part of the song, like all of a sudden you go high and you start, you know, with the chayus. So it could have been the same thing over here. Like the first couple of psukim they do, you know, slowly, you know, gently or whatever, and then all of a sudden they get to binu burdum ba'am for, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, the whole, yeah. Yeah. I remember what they say on the fifth day of Chomer. This is the one that we say for Shir Shoyim of Thursday. This is I took away his I took away the burden from his shoulder. This is talking about Yitzchak Mitzrayim. It's first about Yosef and then about Yitzchak Mitzrayim collectively. So this is already having mentioned previously the tzaddis that we have with the Goyim. Now we go on to if you do the right thing, like we said yesterday, you're not one of the burden ba'am. Then you'll be saved from what we talked about 2 days ago. Mi yochum liyim mereim. You'll taka have asiroi to misave shichma that the burdens of the goyim will be taken away from you. Bashishi mahor emim. What they say on the last day, yimoytu komoytei aretz, which is capital pay base, which we say for Tuesday. That one is also that one is back to the idea of mice. Just only vorosha tzadiku. Make sure that you deal honestly with the poor and with the poor and the needy. If you don't, people don't know about it, they walk in the darkness. So this is like, again, like one last appeal, make sure you give those mice. And in fact, you know, we know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that b'motzoyah chag shebechol shana v'shana is one of the times when there tended to be plagues because people were careless about matnas aniyim. So therefore, you know, you want to make appeals to make sure that people do the right thing with matnas aniyim so you avoid that problem. The im chal Shabbos be'echad behem, and the Braita continues, if Shabbos comes out one of the days of Chol Hamoed, Yemoytu, Yedacha, then we push off the one from Yemoytu. In other words, because then what happens? On Shabbos, you don't say any of these. Because all of these, the different Mefarshim talk about when were these said? Were they said by the Talmud Shoshacha? Were they said by the Musaf? Whatever it is. But on Shabbos, on Shabbos you have something different. On Shabbos you have for the Talmud Shoshacha you have Megid Ol Yashir. We'll talk about it in a couple of months towards the end of Gemara Rosh Hashanah. In the afternoon they did Hazinu, and by Musaf they did Mizmor Shir Yom Shabbos. So there's no room for any of these. So therefore, what would happen? Say, for example, the first day of Chol HaMoed comes out Shabbos. So instead of doing Hovel Hashem in the Elim, they'd push that off to Sunday. So then, V'lo Rosh HaMalek came out to be pushed off to Monday, the third day of Chol HaMoed, and so forth. So you come to Hashayin Rabbah, you've only done the one for the fifth day of Chol HaMoed. So therefore, your Moed, which is the last one, gets pushed off.
Because of Shabbos.
Yes, because there was a Shabbos during Chol HaMoed. I mean, you have this kind of thing also in a way. You know, we don't really have it with Hashinus, because we say the same Hashinus no matter what the Kviyas is, and if we miss one, and when one is missed because of Shabbos, then we make it up the next day. But in the Velt where they have a different Seder of Hashinus depending on the Kviyas of Sukkot, then yes, you have some of them that actually get pushed off because when one of them was supposed to be said comes out on Shabbos.
If it's pushed on because of Shabbos,
then we say it together with the next one the next day. We only do one hakapa around the bima though, but we do say both of them. And so we have this Seder. We had the Seder of songs, but actually the Gemara points out there were actually two different versions of what the Seder was. Rav Safra Manach Bo Simana Humbihi, which is Havu Lashem Vila Rasha Mi Yakum Li Binu Borim Hasiroisi and Yimotu, the exact order that we had in the Braita. That was Rav Safra. Rav Papa Manach Bo Simana Hum Habi. Rav Papa put the second hay before the bays. He put Hasiroisi before Binu Borim Ba'am. Because again, a Hasiroisi is meant as a thing of Nechama. Don't worry about the troubles with the Goyim. Avisha will help us from them. Then it's appropriate to put it right after that instead of breaking it up in between. Right after Miyakum Li Mireim. So therefore, he would put the hay right after the bays. Right after the men. The Simonach, I'm going to point out a simon to remember which one said which, which one of Safra said, is the expression Ambua de Safri, a crowd of people who come to the school. Safri in Gemara terminology a lot of times means Malamdim. When a Malamid always has a crowd of people coming to and from his house, the parents, the kids. So Ambuha is the Gemara is the Aramaic word for a crowd. So the expression Ambua de Safri, the popular phrase Ambua de Safri, the crowd of people who come to the school, helps remind you that Rav Safra said Hum Bihi, which sounds similar to the word Ambuha. Anyway. So what do we see from that? So again, what do we get from all of this? That we're saying that if one of the days of Chol HaMoed comes out on Shabbos, we're not going to say we're going to do the Shir of Shabbos and we're going to do the Shir of that day of Chol HaMoed. No, we push it off. We remove it completely. And therefore, Yom Tov, which is on the end, ends up getting pushed off. So therefore, Tirup the Dervach, Bachanina. So now, not only we prove that you don't do extra Tkiyas, you don't even do extra Shiras. Yeah, Tirup the, that's a contradiction. I says, wait a minute, Baharab Acha Baruch Hanina, Kro Mas Nisikama. I mean, Rav Acha Baruch Hanina had a pasuk. He had a braisa, and he explained that he had a braisa that learned from the word Yisku that you blow for each musa. He explained it that way. So he has his braisa, he has his pasuk. I mean, very nice. We contradicted him, but what are we doing with those things? How do we explain the braisa? Well, the Braitha itself is explaining the public. Based on all this, fine. We're saying Rav Acha Bar Chanina's understanding that you blow a separate set of tkiyas for each shir, fine. We don't accept that. Maybe not even that you have a separate shir. But then what does the Braitha mean when it says that Lafi Amusaf and Token? Amar Ravina, Loima Shema Rikhin B'tkiyas. It means you go long with the tkiyas. It means normally, for example, you would have, you have three tkiyas at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the shir shoyim. Here what we're saying is, and they're doing the shir shoyim while they're pouring the nesachim. Here what we're saying is because there's two or three separate sets of nesachim, so therefore they go longer with the tkiyas. They spread out the tkiyas throughout that whole period. So they may only do one shir shoyim. They may do two according to the different possibilities over here. Sometimes they do one, sometimes they do two. But whatever it is, they arrange the tkiyas so that they cover both of them. That's what the Braise is saying. L'fi ha-musafim tokim. They blow according to the musafim. As the you don't just say in other words, you pour in the safim of one musaf through the tkiyas and the shira then and do nothing at all by the second one. No, you spread out the one shira itself and the tkiyas throughout the time when the safim are being done. Rabbanan de Kesri Mishmeder Rav Acha Amri, the Rabbanan of Kesri said in the name of Rav Acha, they said a different explanation. It means that you do extra people blowing the chatzotzes. Normally you only have two people blowing chatzotzes. Here, when you have an extra musaf, instead of it's true, you don't do any more tkiyas, but you have extra people blowing. It's not considered extra because they're all blowing together. But therefore, this way, so you have the fiyam or safim taken according to the number of musafim, you have more people blowing. Yeah. Now, since we talked about the shear of the various days of Chol HaMoed, so now the Gemara is going to talk about a related thing. You know, we have there's two different things that we do with the korbanos of Sukkot during Sukkot. Number one, we lay about them in the Torah, and number two, we mention them in musaf. So Rashi says that actually this discussion over here that the Gemara is going to have, these next couple of lines, are actually talking about what we say in Musaf. About Korbanos. Because we have, the problem is like this. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have an issue. In Eretz Yisrael, the first day of Sukkot, they say, B'chamish al-Siyom. The second day, they say, Uvayim HaSheni. The third day, they say, Uvayim HaShlishi, etc. Until Hashayin and Abba, they say, Uvayim HaShvi. And Shmini Atzeres, they say, Uvayim HaShmini Atzeres. And that's that. We have a Sukkot. We have Sfeika D'Yoma. Now, the problem is like this. In theory, the second day of Sukkot, we should be saying both Uvachamisha Asayim and Uvayim Ashedi, because it might really be the second day of Sukkot. It might really be the first day of Chol HaMoed. But we can't do that. Doing that would be to treat the Yom Tov a little bit like a weekday. It would be to be Mezalzel in the Yom Tov. So we can't do that. Come the first day of Chol HaMoed then, what are we saying? Are we saying Uvayim Ashedi, or are we saying Uvayim Ashlishi? And so forth with all the other days. So that's maybe we'll talk about that. So these are different possibilities.
We say both.
Wait up a couple of lines, yeah. So Rashi explains that primarily we're talking about what we say in Musaf, and secondarily also we'll get to what we do with lightning. Rabbi Hananel says the other way around. Primarily the Gemara is talking about over here what we do as far as lightning. Because there's actually different opinions. We'll learn at the end of Rosh Hashanah. There's actually different opinions among the Rishonim. Do you even have to say the Pesukim of Musaf in Musaf? And as a matter of fact, actually, there's a difference in Minog between Ashkenazim and Sardim on that Adayim Azeh. We Ashkenazim say the Pesukim of each Musaf in its Musaf. Sardim don't. They just say something along the lines of, it says in the Torah that you're supposed to bring the Musaf, K'mor Shekasev B'Sod HaSecha, and then they go on with the rest of Musaf. They don't actually say the Pesukim. Because there's different opinions whether you have to or not. We'll learn at the end of Rosh Hashanah. We'll learn in Sivan Bez Hashem about it. Based on a Gemara, based on two different possible understandings of a Gemara there. Anyway.
No, the Pashtus,
the reason is because people may get mixed up. You think of how confusing it is every year when it comes to Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and you have to figure out which one you're saying. You know, it may have been that the Sfarish Poskim then felt, you know, and they understood since based on their understanding of the Gemara. You know what? You know, let it be. Don't have
similar,
it.
Similar, very similar.
Yeah.
But some of them have very slight differences.
Right. So, v'anandi islet lantre yomi heicher abdinen. We have 2 days yomtiv. So, what do we do? And according to Rashi, what do we do as far as what we say in Musaf? And according to Rabbeinu Hananel, what do we do as far as lightning? Abaya amasheni yidachas. Abaya says, push aside the one from the second day. So, therefore, according to Abaya, in other words, the first 2 days of yomtiv, you say v'chamish asiyayim. The first day Chol HaMoed, you right away go to vayem ashlishi. You never say vayem asheni. And then the second, wait. The next day you do a Vayim Ravi, etc. Hashan and Abba you do a Vayim Ashmi, and Shmini Atzeres you do a Vayim Ashmi. Shmini Atzeres and Simchat Torah you do a Vayim Ashmi. Rava Amashvi Yidacha. Rava says you push off the one from the seventh. So according to Rava then, first day Chol HaMoed you're doing Vayim Ashmi, second day Vayim Ashlishi, etc. Till you come to Hashan and Abba is Vayim Ashishi, and you never say Vayim Ashvi, because Vayim Ashvi in principle would have to be on Shmini Atzeres. And again, you don't want to say one from a weekday on Yom Tov, because it would be to be Mezalzel on Yom Tov. We have a braisa that says according to Rava, Imchal Shabbos liyisbechad mehen yimoti yidacha. We just said with the shiras of Chol HaMoed that if Shabbos comes out on one of the days of Chol HaMoed, we said the last one, the one that's supposed to be for Hashayin and Abba, yimoti, gets pushed aside. So by the same token, when it comes to the psukim from the Musafim, also you push aside the one that should really be for Hashayin and Abba. However, and this is what where you were saying, asking a meimer b'nahada to medal gedaluvi, a meimer made a takana and nahada that they should repeat, which is what we do. So therefore, on the first day halamayid, we say uvayem hasheni uvayem hashlishi because of the suffix. It might be the second day, so it might be the third. Next day, uvayem hashlishi uvayem hashvi, etc. Until hashanah rabba, we do uvayem hashishi uvayem hashvi and shmini, etc. And simchas torah is uvayem hashmini. Then Rashi says, what about laning? So laning, Rashi says, similar idea. Then the medalgi delugi also applies to laning, which what do we do nowadays? We do on the first day halamayid, for example, we do the kohen does bayim hasheni, the levi is bayim hashlishi, the yisrael is bayim harabi. Now yom harabi is not a suffix at all, but Rashi says that doesn't really matter. And the first three aliyahs you have any week anyway, any Monday and Thursday. So the first three aliyahs, it doesn't really matter so much what they're reading. That's not the important thing. So yes, the yisrael can be reading over yom harabi, even though it's not at all a suffix. Today is definitely not yom harabi, but fine. You know, you need something for it to read. The important one is the Achron, the fourth Aliyah, who gets the Vayim Hasheni or Vayim Hashlishi, which are the two possible days, which are the two possible Sefas. Same thing the next day, etc. Tosfos argues with that. Tosfos says, then you have a problem. What happens when it comes to Hashan and Abba? By the same logic, you're going to say the Koyim does Vayim Hashishi, the Levi does Vayim Hashvi. What's the Yisrael going to do? Vayim Hashmini? What are you doing a Yom Tov on Kalabayit? So what do we do? So Taka, what do? We do Taka. In that case, we have no choice. The Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael do Chamishi, Shishi, and Shvi, and the Ravi does Bayim HaShishi or Bayim HaShvi. But Tosfos doesn't like that, though, because then it comes out, you're making Hoshana Rabba different from all the other days. The Tosfos says, rather, what you should better do is Kohen should do Bayim HaSheni, Levi, Bayim HaShlishi, Shlishi, Yisrael should again do Bayim HaSheni, and the Ravi should again do Bayim HaShlishi. So all you're doing is Bayim Hasheni, Bayim Hashlishi. All you're doing is those two ones, which are the possible sefakas of the day. You don't do Bayim Ravi at all. And similarly with all the other days, so therefore it comes out consistent every day. We don't do that. We do like Rashi says, and we do Bayim Hasheni, Bayim Hashlishi, Bayim Ravi, and then back to Bayim Hasheni, Bayim Hashlishi. What they do in Eretz Yisrael, by the way, is an interesting thing. Also, there's a whole discussion of what they should do in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have sefak of the yomer. So do they just have each of the four Olim, for example, on the first day of Cholamoy reads the Vayim Hasheni, so you have four people getting the same Aliyah? Or do you talk to have in Eretz Yisrael also, you have the first three Olim do maybe a Vayim Hashlishi, maybe a Vayim Ravi, or whatever, for the reason that Rashi says, because what the first three Olim read isn't the important thing, it's only what the Achron reads that's important.
That's the
one
from the day.
Yes, that's the one from the day.
Yeah. So what do they do? They do that?
So there's actually different Minhagim. I think there's even different Minhagim among the Babachers, you know, to tell what to do.
How come we base our whole halacha on one single seminar and not our dear?
Because he's Basra. He's after Abaye and Rava, generally speaking, halacha to Basra. But besides that, also, the Gemara finishes off the sugya with it, which implies that the halacha is like that. Mishnah says, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Hoyosham Yud Gimel Purim, on the first day of Yom Tov, they had, talking about the Korbanos, they had 13 bulls that were to be brought on the Korban Musaf, Elim Shnayim, two rams, the Sayer Echad, and one goat. Nishtayrosham Yud Dalet Kvasim L'Shmoina Mishmaris. And then you have 14 sheep left over for 8 Mishmaris. So altogether there were 24 Mishmaris of Korbanos. Now, if we count up the Korbanos, 13 and 2 and 1 and 14 makes 30 Korbanos. So there's 30 Korbanos to be divided among 24 Mishmaris. The Gemara is going to discuss, actually, it'll be more in tomorrow's Gemara, that during the Shalosh Regalim, all of the Mishmaris had an equal chance at serving in the Beis Mikdash. All the rest of the year, everyone had their week. But when it came to the Shalosh Regalim, everybody is equal. Now, the other Yom Tovim, you didn't have as many Musafim, so there's no choice. You have to make a pious. They had to make a girdle between the Mishmaris who gets what. Sukkot, you don't need to do that, because there's more Korbanos than there are Mishmaris. But wait, even on the last day, on Hashanah Rabbah, you still have an exact equal number. It's only on Shmini Atzeres. Only on Shmini Atzeres you have less. That's why we talked about at the top of Daf Mem Ches that Shmini Atzeres is unique is different than Sukkot in six ways. The first one was Pei, which stood for pious, was because on Shmini Atzeres they take a need of pious because there's only ten animals for the Korban Musaf and 24 Mishmaros. But all the other days they didn't need that. So by Yom Rishon. On the first day of Sukkot, Shisha Makrivim Shnayim Shnayim, six of the Mishmaris would each bring two of the sheep as the korban, Vashar Echad Echad, and all the other, the remaining two Mishmaris would each bring one of the sheep. So you'd have, in other words, like this. The first 13 Mishmaras bring the 13 bulls. The next two bring the two Elim. The next one, the 16th one, brings the Sire. The Mishmaras 17 through 22 each bring two sheep. Mishmaras 23 and 24 bring one sheep. Mepharshim, by the way, argue on, is it that they always started with the first Mishmar, which is what Rashi says? So every year, Mishmar number one, whose name was Yahayariv, would always bring the first carbon, and Mishmar number two, Yediah, would always bring the second one, etc. Or, according to the Ritva, every year they would make a pious just to determine where you start in the order, and then they'd work from there. Whichever one got the first one, then the next one after them would get the second one, etc. Basheni, on the next day, you have one less bull, because we know every day the number of bulls is less. Chamishim akrivim shnayim shnayim, so five of the mishmaras would each bring two of the sheep. Vashar achad achad, and the rest of them one each. Vashlishi dalad makrivim shnayim shnayim, on the third day, four of them would be bringing two sheep each. Vashar achad achad, and the rest of them would be one each. Varavi shloshim makrivim shnayim shnayim, on the fourth day, you're down to, what is it, ten bulls, three of the mishmaras bring two each. Vashar achad achad, and the others bring one each. Bahamishi, Shnaim Makrim Shnaim Shnaim Bashara Khadakhar, Bashishi on the sixth day, Echad Makrim Shnaim, one Mishmar gets two sheep, Bashara Khadakhar, and all the other ones bring one each. Bashvi Kolam Chavin, on the seventh day there's exactly 24 karbanos, because there's seven bulls, two rams, one goat, which makes 10, and 14 sheep. So they have exactly 24 for the 24 Mishmaras. So Kolam Chavin, so everybody is equal. Everybody gets one carbon. Bashmini chodzul a pious kibbutz galim. On the eighth day, they would go back to doing a pious like on the other Yom Tovim, because again, they only had ten animals for 24 mishmaras. Amru, they said the rule has to be like this: Mishi hikruv parim ayoyim lo yakruv lamacher. Whoever brought parim today should not bring the next day. Ela chodzun chalila. Rather, they go in a rotation. So let's go, for example, according to Rashi, that every year they would always start with mishmar of Yahayariv, number one. So the first day, then the first 13 mishmaras are the ones who bring the parim. 14 and 15 bring the Elim, 16 brings the Sire, 17 through 24 bring the Kvasim. The next day, you start with number 14. Because yesterday, 1 through 13 did the Parim, so today, the second day, you start with 14. 14 through 24, that's 11 of them, and then the Mishmar number 1, Yahayariv, gets a turn again with the Parim. And the next day you start with number 2, and then so on and so forth. So you wind up with since there's 70 parim, 70 divided by 24, you have you're too short of an even number. Then what you have is all of the mishmaras got to bring parim three times, except the last two mishmaras only got to bring them twice. Okay, so that's why according to the Ritva, every year you would do a pious to determine where you start according to Rashi. Okay, those two got, you know. Which actually, I mean, the expression is not really completely, I mean, we just said that Yahayariv gets to bring a par, or whichever one of the first Mishmar in the sequence gets to bring on the first day and also on the second day. But, I mean, there's no choice. There's 25 parim between the first 2 days, so necessarily somebody's going to have to repeat. What we mean, at least, you know, nobody should repeat until everybody's had a turn. Actually, the Aruch HaNer points out that's why the expression is parim, plural, because you know he's getting to bring a par. It's only his second. Nobody brings two parim on the same day. In other words, if it's on adjacent days, okay, you can't be helped.
Money for these parim come from the general money.
Yeah, there it all comes from Trumas Alishka. It all comes from the Shkalim. Yeah. One thing, by the way. I mean, first of all, you know, each mishmar obviously wanted to have the schus of doing it, but also as a practical matter, they also got some financial benefit out of it. That the skins of the carbon oila, which all of these carbonates except for the sorer are carbon oila, the skins go to the kainim.
I didn't know that all oila gets the skin.
Yeah.
So what do they do with them?
Whatever you do with skins, make them into leather, parchment.
Yeah.
We learned in Psachim that there came a point in the time of the second Beis Mikdash when there were Kohanim who would grab these skins by force. So eventually what the Kohanim started doing is they started being machtish them. They started declaring, you know what, all these skins were donating back to Hektish. And eventually Hektish made so much money off those skins that they had enough money to plate the Heichol with thick plates of gold. Yeah, it was in Psachim towards the end of the fourth era. Yeah. It was actually while I was away, but yeah. Sigmar says, "Name a masnisin Rebbe hevelay rabbanon." Do we have to say that our Mishnah, which is saying that on the eighth day we said on Shmi Atzeres they do a pious like on every other Yom Tov, Should we say that that's only according to Rebbe and not according to the Rabbanan? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Par Habav Shmini, the one par that's brought on the eighth day on Shmini Atzeres, but Chilam Mafisin Olav, they make a fresh pious on it. In other words, all even though 22 of the 24 Mishmaris already had three parim to bring, nevertheless, you still all of them can join together in this pious. One of them is going to get a fourth one. Okay, so I'll get a fourth one. Divrei Rebbe. The Rabbanan, the Chachamim say, no, you have those two Mishmaras, the poor two Mishmaras who only got two Parim, only they join in this pious. So that way at least one of them gets the third shot. Now, when the Mishnah says, Chazru la pious Kibur HaGolem, they go back to a pious like on the other Yom Tovim. Now, the other Yom Tovim, obviously, all 24 Mishmaras join together in the pious. So that means the Mishnah is only according to Rebbe. The answer is no. I feel the same. The answer is that Philo Tamer Rabbanan, you could even say, according to Rabbanan, because after all, Alter Shtei Mishmaras Layafusi Boy, okay, you only have two Mishmaras, they still have to make a pious. Yeah, when the Mishnah says that they did a pious, Kibur HaGolem, doesn't necessarily mean the same kind of pious involving all 24 Mishmaras. It just means they did a pious like they did by the other Regolem. It just means, but it's a different kind of pious because here it's only 22 Mishmaras and usually we do 24. Kaman oz lahadatanya, then who does it go like this that it says in a braisa, kol mishmaras shonish of ashalshis, all the mishmaras went twice and three times, each of them had three times to bring a par, chutz mishnei mishmaras shoshonish and mishalshis, except the two mishmaras who repeated but did not do three times. Again, name a Rebbe the Rabbanan. That seems to only be according to Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, yes, it could happen that those two mishmaras, if neither of them won the pious, would wind up taka they only had twice. According to the Rabbanan, inevitably one of them is going to have a third one. The answer
was
is
designated according to Rabbanan?
No, what we're saying is, even according to the Rabbanan, there were the pious. What we're saying is, according to the Rabbanan, it would come out, ultimately, by the end of the Yom Tov season, 23 of the Mishmaras have brought three parim. Not 22. According to Rebbe, yes, it could be that 22 of them brought three. One of the other 22 may have even won a fourth one on Shmini Atzeres, and those last two, number of Mishmaras, number 23 and 24, will have wound up with only two. According to the Rabbanan, if we only make a pious between those two, obviously one of them is going to win.
Because two.
Yeah. So we're saying, Mishalshis, that seems to be only according to Rabbi. The answer is, I feel the same in Rabbanan. You could even say it's according to the Rabbanan. What does it mean they didn't say three times? Means in the Parim of Sukkot itself. We're not talking, the ones of Shmini Atzeres are a thing of their own. Oh, my Kamashmalon, so then what's the Chiddush? How Kamashmalon? That's exactly what the Chachamim are trying to tell us. This that it said in the Mishnah, Mishi Ikrib Paramayim La Yakrib La Machar La Chazin Chalila. This idea that every day you start from where you left off with Parim yesterday, because if you didn't have that detail, you would think every day Yahayarib starts with the first part of that day, so therefore Yahayarib is going to end up bringing seven Parim, and Yadaya is going to end up bringing six, and then so on and so forth. Like this, we're clarifying that no, it means every Mishmar gets at least twice, and most of them get three times. Amar Rav Elazar, Hani Shivim Parim Keneged Mi. Who are the 70 Parim corresponding to? Keneged Shivim Umas. They correspond to the 70 nations. Par Yechidi Kibama, and then why do you have one par on Shmini Atzeres? Keneged Uma Yechida, corresponding to the one unique nation, the Jewish people. Marshal Amalek, famous thing. Marshal Amalek, Basav Adam, Shamal Avadim, Absuli Surah Gdela. Like a king who says to his servants, make for me a big Surah. L'yom Achron, Amala Oyavari. On the last day, he says to his friend, which is the Jewish people, the rest of the Goyim are Hashem's servants. We're on a higher level. We're Hashem's friend. And he says, Aseli, Surah Tana, make for me a small meal, Kadesh Ahanim Imcha, so I can enjoy with you alone. As Rashi says, Ein li hanoya v'koyrasruach v'shal elu el b'shalcha. I don't have such hana and such pleasure from their korbanos, only from yours. And it's all over in Chassidus. It talks about the idea, therefore, related to this, that Shmini Atzeres represents the Yechida. As we're just saying, the seventy throughout Sukkot is, you know, that there's a world out there. Shmini Atzeres says, Yiyu l'cholabadcha, that we're Yisroel l'malka v'l'chadoi, we're alone together with the Eivishter. And that's also, it talks about many times, that that's why we have the simcha of Simchas Torah and Hakafas, Davka then. It's all when we're celebrating the fact that we have that unique relationship with Hashem. Woe to the Goyim that they lost and they don't even know what they lost. was Mancha Beis Mikdash Kaim, there's Beach Mechaper Aleh. And in the time when there was a Beis Mikdash, then there was Beach, would be Mechaper for them. But Achshav be Mechaper Aleh, and now who's Mechaper for them? There's a Medrash someplace that says that if the Goyim realized how much the Beis Mikdash helps and protects them, Fakech, instead of destroying it, they would have put armed guards to protect it. But now they lost it, and... But even actually we find that even in Mashiach's times that there's a connection between Chag HaSukkos specifically and the Goyim. Yeah. It's an aftertaste of the first day of Sukkot that after Mechamas Gog Magog and after the aftermath of all of that, the Goyim are going to be expected to come every year on Chag HaSukkos to the Beis Mikdash
and punish
if they don't. Yeah. Because Sukkot, more than Sukkot, that's what we're saying. Sukkot more than all the other Yom Tovim. Pesach, you know, is the Chaim. The Goyim have nothing to do with that. Shavuos is Matan Torah. Again, you know, the Goyim have nothing to do with that. Sukkot is the universal thing that the Eibishter runs the world, that the Eibishter protected us with an Ani HaKavod, etc. That's for everybody. And then there's also, of course, the famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah about that. What's the one mitzvah that the Goyim in Mimos HaMashiach that the Goyim asked for? The Eishet tells them, "I'll give you the mitzvah of Sukkah." He gives them the mitzvah of Sukkah, makes it hot, and they kick their sukkahs and then run out because they don't understand the concept of living in a sukkah.
Yeah, but the Eishet is also going to make it very hot for them to stand.
Okay, but after all, we leave our sukkah. We may leave our sukkahs when it's hot or raining or whatever. We don't kick them over. One more thing just to finish off with, actually, there's a very interesting vote from Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch that associates a bunch of these ideas together. He says, so we talk about Melchamas Gog Magog, and again that's the subject that's one of the subjects of the Haftaras of Sukkot. Gog, he says, is Meloshon Gag, a roof. The Goyim, they live under the roofs. For them, you know, we built our own houses, you know, Koychi Va'itim Yadi, that's all we need. We oppose the Goyg with the Sukkah. No, we don't make our own thing. We sit under the protection of the Eibishter. And ultimately, then, the Sukkah defeats the Goyg. Defeats the Gag, the roof.